Well, beloved, this morning's first public reading came from Psalm 96. At this particular edition, it doesn't name anyone specifically who may have been the composer, but whoever it was, was definitely guided by divine inspiration. Notice how the psalm begins. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Beloved, God is the God of all nations. He is the God of all things. He is the God of the universe. Yes, under the old economy, and there was a reason, there was a rhyme and a reason why God focused his attention on one man, Abraham, and then his son Isaac, and then Jacob, and then eventually Joseph, and then eventually Moses, and then eventually we have 12 boys that led the 12 tribes, and 12 tribes became one unified nation under David and then King Solomon. Yes, under the old economy, God was focusing on one people for one purpose, or several purposes. One, to give us the Old Testament as the foundation to the New Covenant, or to the New Testament, and to give us the Savior. But beloved, even in the Old Testament was not ignorant of the fact that God's heart and passion was much broader than just a strip of land there in the Middle East. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. How do we show forth salvation from day to day? That's an interesting phrase. How do we do that? Well, beloved, I think one reason or one way that we do that as Christians, that we simply demonstrate the love of God in the person of Christ to those people to whom we come in contact. Even the ones who jump in our face and the ones who love us. Okay, you got the good, the bad, and the ugly. The fact, beloved, that we show forth our salvation by the deeds and the good things that we do, even for the most unlovable people that grace this planet. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. Beloved, that's a good verse for missionary work, whether it's missionary work done in Topeka, whether it's done in Kansas, whether it's done in the States, or whether it's done across the pond. That's a good verse. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We are no longer to praise God in our homes and in our churches because we're under the new covenant. No, no. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Stop and think. God created everything out of nothing. What do you and I do? We take material that God has already placed here, and we make things from those raw materials. But none of us ever make a raw material and then create something new out of it. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty in his sanctuary. So again, notice the verse, if you're taking notes, verses 1 to 6 is basically theology. Who is God and what is he? Who and what is God? Verses 1 to 6, that's theology. That's what we are to know. Verses 7 and following is the application. Well, if the first 6 verses is true, and it is, then what does that mean for me? What do I do with that truth? Do I put it under a bushel and hide it? No. 1, give unto the Lord all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Well, how do you do that? Well, in your personal life as a Christian, in the privacy of your home, if you have devotional time together, reading a portion of Scripture, and then you bring before God the prayers and the needs of other people, things that we hear here in church, the missionaries that we have become accustomed to knowing from the Reformed Baptist Network, we think of Sergei, we think of Ontario, the rescue mission, Shared Hope International, rescuing those who have been kidnapped and then placed into a lifestyle of simply being abused and whatever, you pray for them, okay? And then in that prayer, you give God the praise and the glory and the honor and the strength that is due to his name. Verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. One part of our population takes his name and uses it as a curse word or as an off-color joke. But for the child of God, no, give glory to that name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. And beloved, this is more than simply writing a check. There's more to being a Christian than putting a check in the basket. What about giving of your time and your talent and your and the things that God has placed in your hands that you can create and do? You do it for others who can never pay you back. The kindness that you can do. What did Jesus say about giving one of his own simply a cold glass of water? What did he say? That act of love will be remembered on the day of judgment and will be rewarded. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. We're being told here that if we try to worship God, drenching in our sins, that worship is not going to be accepted. It says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Holiness. And then verses 10 and following, it's almost as if this is our missionary call as individuals. We'll then say to the heathen that the Lord reigneth. God is not dead. You look at the news, you read the newspaper, you go online, you look at social media, and everything seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. Everything seems to be out of control. So who's running the universe? Well, we're being reminded. Tell the heathen, tell the atheist, tell the agnostic, tell the skeptic, from your vantage point, you see mayhem. The Christian sees the fact that all the reins of every life is still in God's hands. The world shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness. So notice, creation itself, the very creation, the trees in the forest, the fish and the whales and the porpoises in the ocean, the eagles and the vultures and the blue jays and the robins that fly above our heads, all of this gives back to God the glory of being part of his creation. What about you and I? Are we exempt because we think that we made ourselves? Well, beloved, guess what? When we were fashioned in our mother's womb, you had nothing to do with that. You were not in your mother's womb turning a spoon in that matter that made you. You were simply passive in your mother's womb. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Creation responds to God the way God made everything in his creation. Whether it's in the field, whether it's in the sky, whether it's in the water, or whether it lives under your feet. Before the Lord, for he cometh. Yes. For he cometh to judge the earth. And he shall judge the world. Notice two things that God, notice two yardsticks. God will judge on the day of judgment righteously. No one's going to get a bad deal. No one's going to be given a mistrial. No one's going to be given twisted judgment. No one's going to pay God under the table to make a certain verdict go a certain way. No. But then notice this, and this leads into Sunday school. He's going to judge according to truth. Truth. Well, then what is the truth? We shall see that in a few moments. May God bless his word.